This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. If you have a Bible, turn it to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Please join me as we pray together for the Lord's blessing. Father, we pray this morning that you would pour out your Holy Spirit, that you would guide us and direct us into all truth. Father, we pray that your anointing would be upon the preaching of your word and upon those who are listening here today. Lord, I pray that we would go with something, that we would go with something to help us in this life, to help us to draw nearer to you, to help us to understand you better. We ask, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever had a problem? Let's put it another way. Anguish, burden, persecution, tribulation, trouble. Have you ever experienced any of those things? There's a good chance this morning that at least one of you has. Amen? Actually, there's a good chance this morning that all of you have experienced what we call affliction. That includes all of those words I just said. And many of us have found ourselves confused during times of affliction. Why me? Why is this happening? What is going on? Where is God? Have you felt that way before? I have. Well, the Word of God this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 is dealing with the issue of affliction. And I'm going to give you a warning right now, okay? A warning right now. In this chapter, there is a guarantee that we are going to experience affliction. So if you don't want to hear about that, you can go now. If you think this is going to be a message about how we will never have problems, we will never have affliction, then you had better go now. Amen? But it is, after all, going to be a message of encouragement from the Word of God. How we can endure affliction. How we can press on during affliction. How we can have victory during our affliction. Amen? So if you're ready for that, then you can stay. Praise the Lord. In chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, we could no longer endure it. We thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain." Remember, this letter, 1 Corinthians, was written by the Apostle Paul to a church in a place called Thessalonica. It was a place that he went to on his second missionary journey. Paul was a missionary, a church planter, an apostle. He went there and planted a church, and because of persecution, because of trouble, he was forced to leave the city earlier than he would have liked. In fact, he may have only been there 3 or 4 weeks. So he had to leave early, and he went to a place called Berea and then to a place called Athens. And that's where he thought about the people there in Thessalonica. That's what he says here in the first few verses. He was actually concerned about them because he knew that they were going to experience what? Affliction. Trouble. Persecution. He knew it. He knew they were going to experience that, and his concern was that when they experienced trouble in their lives, that they would forsake the Lord. They would move away from the Lord. And so, if you're here today, and you have experienced affliction, if you are experiencing affliction now, there are some here today, no doubt, who are in the middle of a fiery trial, who are experiencing problems in their life, then really this chapter, the Lord wants to speak to you this morning through His Word. He said He sent Timothy in verse 2. Timothy was a fellow missionary, a fellow worker. And He sent Timothy back to Thessalonica to see how the church was doing. Not only that, but also in verse 2, it says to establish you and encourage you. And so these first 5 verses are about established and encouraged during affliction. We need those 2 things when we're facing problems. We need to be established and we need to be encouraged. Amen? Let the Lord establish us, encourage us this morning. The word established means really to strengthen. To strengthen, to make stronger, actually to make firm and solid in the faith. There are those believers who are solid in the faith. It means when the winds of trouble blow, those believers are not going to fall down. Amen? That is a person who is established. This place across the street, they are building a foundation for a building. Amen? And they want to make sure that the foundation is what? Established. Because they don't want the thing to fall down. I hope this building is established. And I hope that all of us will be more established in the faith of Jesus Christ. Strong in the faith. He was sent there to strengthen, to make firm and solid, but also to encourage is what it says in verse 2. Encouragement, I think we know what it means. It means to comfort. To bring joy and comfort in the midst of a problem. You know, when a problem comes to your life, when affliction comes to my life, the one thing that we need is encouragement. Amen? Because when a affliction comes to your life, your smile kind of starts to go down. Amen? And then more affliction, and your smile starts to go down, so then it's an upside down smile. Encouragement kind of makes the smile go back the other way and then back up. That's what we need, isn't it? Are you in tribulation? Are you in trouble? Are you afflicted this morning? You need encouragement. I hope and pray that you find it for these few minutes in the Word of God, encouragement for your life in trouble. The fear that Paul had in verse 3 was that the believers, these new believers, there in that church, that they would be shaken, verse 3, that they would be shaken by these afflictions. That was his fear, that was his concern, that they would be shaken. That literally the word means that they would be moved away from the Lord. Because I think you know people, and I know people, who they put their faith in Christ, they believe the Word, and then when trouble and persecution comes, what happens? They move away from Christ. They say, no, I don't want it anymore. Praise God for the sowers this morning. They were sowing the seed. But you remember the parable of the sower in the Bible. I think you do. The sower sows the seed, and the seed falls on different types of ground. Some of it is hard. The birds come and take it away. On the other end, there is the good soil where it grows and produces fruit. But do you remember? There was one type of soil, one type of person, Jesus said later, who the Word came. Remember? The Word came, and it started to grow in the person's life. But the thorns came around it and choked out the Word. And that represented the persecution and the affliction that came because of the Word. And those people were shaken. They were moved away. They didn't want Jesus anymore. And That is the heart of this chapter, that we, you and me, all of us, would be established, would be strengthened, would be encouraged, so that we would not move away from the Lord when problems come. And one way that we can do that is by knowing, it says it in verse 3 and in verse 4, this isn't my own opinion. One way that we can be strong and encouraged is by knowing that we will face affliction. We have an appointment with it. Praise the Lord. Have you ever had an appointment with somebody? I'll meet you on Wednesday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's an appointment. And if both parties are faithful, you know, I have appointments sometimes, and occasionally it's difficult for me to meet the appointment. Praise the Lord. I try. But this appointment, it will be kept by all of us who are believers in Jesus. You have an appointment with affliction. Maybe you've already met your appointment. In fact, really, you have more than one appointment. I told you before the service started, I gave you a warning, remember? But really, this isn't something that we should be discouraged by. It is something that can really prepare us, strengthen us, help us to know that we will face really difficult problems in our life. It's just the way it is, especially if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. There is a teaching in the church today that says, come to Jesus and you will have no more problems. Praise the Lord. Come to Jesus and all of your problems will go away. You will never be sick again. You will never be poor again. You will never have problems in your life again. If you come to Jesus, He'll take all of those things away and you'll live in a nice house, drive a nice car, have lots of money, you'll never be sick, and then you'll go to heaven. That's a teaching today. But the Bible says, Paul says here in verse 3, that we were appointed to affliction, and in verse 4, we told you before we were with you that we would suffer tribulation. You see, Paul's gospel message was this, and I know I've said it for probably the past couple of weeks. I was telling Pastor Josh about this. I said, you know, the people are really going to get tired of me preaching because all I tell them about is problems. They're going to have trouble. But it can help us, and he said, I told you you would suffer tribulation. 1 Peter chapter 4, this is in your notes. Verse 12 through 13 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. And when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Do you see that verse? Don't think it is strange when you experience a fiery trial. Praise the Lord. And many times I tell the Lord, Lord, you can give me a trial, but I really don't want a fiery trial. That is a serious thing. A serious suffering in a life that is lived for Jesus Christ. But the verse doesn't say, I'm sorry. It doesn't say you're going to face a serious trial. Sorry. Amen. Someone falls down, you say what? Sorry. It doesn't stop there. It says you'll face the serious trial, but be happy. Rejoice. Not because you're suffering, no. We're not happy that we're suffering. Rejoice because you are partaking in the sufferings of Christ. Jesus suffered. And not only that, you will rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed, when you are with Him, when this life is over. Amen? So let's get ready. We have an appointment. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Philippians chapter 1, 29, for to you it has been granted, it has been given, this is a privilege, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Did you know that verse was in the Bible? Many of these verses, you know, when I first read them, I thought, nobody told me about this. You know, when I first got saved, I had a Bible promise book. Have you ever seen those before? In the Bible, they have all the verses that promise you things in the Bible. God will be with you until the end of the age. I say, praise God, amen. I turn to the next page. My God shall supply all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord, that's a promise. But I never saw in the Bible promise book these verses. It's a promise. Praise the Lord. What's wrong with you, Pastor? You're always talking about suffering. It can help us to know that it is a reality, not to pretend like suffering doesn't exist. I talked to one brother. He came in here and he said that, you know, God will heal everyone as long as you say the word of faith, the person will be healed. I said, no, because I've prayed with faith and the person who is sick, it kind of still remains sick. Have you ever prayed someone who was sick and then they kind of stayed sick? Now, God heals. Praise the Lord. Our God heals. He is able to heal. We believe that with all of our heart. But there are some times when the Lord says, no, it is better if the person is not healed. Did you know the Lord says that? He does. Because He knows best. He can use you more when you're not healed than if you were healed. He does that. Our God heals, but sometimes He chooses not to. And this brother said, no. Whenever I pray for the person who is sick, then they are healed. And I said, you mean every person you've prayed for who was sick became healed immediately? And he was honest, praise the Lord, for the brother. He said, well, no. He said a few of them, but most of them are still sick after I pray for them. And I said, there's kind of a problem there. But he said, I just believe that they are well. And I tell them, you are well. And they say, I am well. You know, have you experienced, you know that's true. Is your leg broken? No. When the leg is broken. Praise the Lord. Let's deal with the real issues in our life. You are going to suffer. I am going to suffer. I have, and you have. And God desires to encourage us and comfort us during our suffering. Praise the Lord. In verse 5, he was concerned because of Satan. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, meaning I couldn't stand to not know how you were doing, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. He's talking about the tempter. Do you know who that is? Satan. In the very beginning, the first woman who was ever there, her name was, what was her name again? Eve or something? Her name was Eve. And there was a certain serpent who came into the garden where she was. And do you know what he did? He tempted her. He didn't come into the garden and say, I'm Satan, bow down and worship me. He came in and deceived and tempted and tried to lure her and draw her away from the Lord by lies. Did you know Satan lies? That is his language. The language of lie. I hope none of you have learned that language. That is his language. He lies. Do you remember what Satan said to Eve? He said a lot of things. You can be like God and this fruit won't hurt you. But he tempted Eve and he made her think that God didn't really want the best for her. That's what he did. God doesn't want you to eat of this tree because he knows when you eat, you will be better than him. You will be like him. Making her think that God didn't care about her. That's what Satan does. And in a time of affliction, listen, That's exactly why he said this in verse 5. In a time of affliction, Satan is going to come to you. And he's going to tell you that God doesn't love you. That is why you are suffering, because God doesn't love you. That's what Satan says. Have you heard Satan say that to you before? I have. God doesn't care about you anymore. That's why he has allowed you to suffer this way. That is a lie from Satan. God loves us so much. God cares for us so much. God loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. Whenever you start to doubt the love of God, look at the cross. Jesus suffered. Do you think the Father was angry at Jesus? That's why he made him suffer? No. Jesus suffered so that we could be saved. It was for a better purpose. And God loves us. Don't believe Satan's lies. The things he tells us. And here's another thing that Satan will want you to do. He'll want you to blame God. Have you ever done that during a trial? God, why have you done this to me? God, why have you killed my brother, God? Or whatever it is, I don't know. We're tempted to blame God. In fact, you remember this guy Job in the Old Testament? Have you ever read that book of the Bible before? If you want to know about affliction, just read the book of Job. Praise the Lord. And then your affliction will seem like kind of not really a big deal. You can say, praise God that I'm not like Job. But you remember Job's friends. He had friends. I guess they were his friends. They came to him and spoke with him. And the friends were telling Job all of these lies of Satan. Do you know why you're suffering? Do you know why you're sick? It's because you've sinned. They said to Job. Was that why he was suffering? No. That's a lie. Do you know why you're suffering? Because God doesn't like you anymore. You've offended God, now God doesn't like you, now you're suffering. Job's friends would tell him. And even his wife. Job, dear, she said to him, curse God and die. His wife said to him, curse God and die. That's the counsel his wife gave to him. We have a class in Bible college called Biblical Counseling. That is not good counsel. If you have a friend or loved one who is suffering, don't counsel them that way. Curse God and die. But you see, her heart was, it is God's fault. God is the one who is doing this to you. Blaming God. Job refused to curse God. Do you know why? Because he knew God. He knew that God loved him. He knew that God was in control. He knew that God cared about his life. Praise the Lord. And you read the end of the book of Job, and God gave him more in the end than he had in the beginning. His life was better after he suffered than before. Praise the Lord. And God will use suffering in your life to make you better. Did you know that? There's a man, and I love this, what he said. He said, contrary to what might be expected, listen to this, because this is wisdom, and it's true according to God's word. He says, contrary to what might be expected, I look back on experiences that at the time seemed especially desolating and painful. That means they were really, really, really bad. I look back at those times with satisfaction. He's happy. Indeed, I can say with complete truthfulness that everything I have learned in 75 years in this world, he was 75 years old, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my experience has been through affliction and not through happiness. Praise the Lord. You've all heard about how they purify gold, I think. But I think it would be useful at this point to to talk about it. If they want to purify gold, do you know what they do? They get this hot thing. Hot bowl. They heat it up to where it is hot, hot, hot. Praise God. Fiery trial. And it's hot. Then they put the gold in there and it has impurities, it has problems, it has issues with the gold. It's not beautiful, it's not worth very much. They put it into this hot thing and it gets hot. And it burns and it melts and it suffers. And then at the end, the master craftsman, or whatever the guy's name who does gold is, takes the impurities off of it after it has been heated up and pours it out. And do you know what's left? Pure, beautiful, refined gold. Amen? Refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy. Have you ever sang that song before? And God will... Don't be discouraged in your trial. Don't be discouraged in your affliction. It's a good thing. Because after this, your life is going to be better. All things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. All. Death, sickness, emotional struggle, all things work for good in your life. There is a method of threshing grain that they used to use in the Roman world in Paul's day. Actually, what they would do, you know what grain is, right? You have the stalks of grain. You have to kind of grind it up and then out pops the grain itself. I'm not a professional. I don't deal in this subject. People tell me about it. I eat bread and things made from grain. But in the Roman world, they had this process of getting the grain out of the sheaves, out of what it was bad. And actually what they would do is they would put the grain, the stalks of grain, inside of this place. And they had a cart, one of these carts, with wheels on it. And instead of regular wheels, they had long cylinders with like stones and rough bits of iron in it. And what they would do, this thing was called a tribulum. It's where we get the word tribulation. Praise the Lord. This thing was called a tribulum. And they would pull this thing over the grain, and when pressure and these problems or these sharp things were tearing up the grain, then the inside of the grain would come out, the beautiful part of it. And they would be able to gather it. And all of that which was bad, they would push away. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we are underneath the tribulum. Have you ever felt that way before? It feels like there is a big heavy thing rolling over you back and forth with sharp iron and stones in it, just rolling over your head, your body. Have you felt that way before? I have, but maybe I'm talking to myself only. I felt that way. What is happening to me? Why is this so difficult? Times in my life when I can think back to, it was fiery. And sometimes we can think, what is the purpose of this? And the purpose is to make us better. You may not think that now, but you wait until the end. We're going to be better. In verse 6, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, in all our affliction, there he is, Paul. You know, Paul was worse than me. He talked about affliction more than I do. Here he is again. In all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Paul is saying this. You know, I told you at the beginning, he sent Timothy to find out if they had moved from Christ because of affliction. To find out if they were still, there was still a church in Thessalonica. And Timothy reports back and says, yes, not only are they still there, but they are strong in their faith. Praise the Lord. There was joy in the Apostle Paul's heart because of the faith of the other believers. It encouraged him in his affliction. He had affliction, they had affliction, they all had affliction. And to hear about their strength, to hear about their faith during affliction, it encouraged him and increased his faith during his affliction. Praise the Lord. I encourage you who are suffering, especially for the name of Jesus Christ, if you are suffering because of Jesus being persecuted, then spend some time learning about those who have suffered because of Jesus before you. They're called martyrs. Have you ever heard of them before? Martyrs, someone who is persecuted and dies because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And this principle, the principle here is this: other people's faith during affliction can encourage you. How can I encourage someone who is in affliction? By going to them and talking to them about my experience in affliction and how God has comforted me and brought me through, and here I am. I love to read the stories of people who have suffered because of Christ. It encourages me. It strengthens me. There is one man in particular. It was just after the death of the first apostles. He was called a leader in the church at that time. And his name was Polycarp. That's a strange name, huh? Anybody here named Polycarp? I hope not. I just said it was strange. Praise the Lord. I make mistakes. But this guy, Polycarp, they brought him before the Roman government. The government was killing Christians. Thousands and thousands and thousands of believers were put to death because of Jesus Christ. And that didn't just happen back then. It happens today. Today, believers in this world are persecuted, are put to death because of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? I hope you do. But this man was brought before the Roman government. They said to him, have pity on yourself. Deny Christ because you are an old man. They said to him, we're going to kill you if you don't deny Christ. So just you're just an old man. Why don't you just deny Christ? Have pity on yourself. They said to Polycarp, in many like speeches it says, he says, swear that you don't love Christ, renounce Christ, and we will release you. Reproach Christ, and he answered them. I love this. I hope you're encouraged. He answered them and said, 86 years, he was 86 or more, 86 years I have served him, and he never once wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my King who has saved me? For 86 years, he's never done anything wrong to me. How can I blaspheme him now today that I'm an old man? Praise the Lord. They said to him, we have wild beasts. You know what they used to do? They had an arena like the Olympics. The Olympic arena, you can imagine all the people were there. And in the middle, they didn't have running. Well, sometimes they did. But they brought the Christians in and stood them in the middle of this arena, and everybody watched, and then they would open doors, and lions, bears, any kind of ferocious animal, they would let them come out, they would first starve the animal, and then they would devour the Christians, eat them alive, tear their arms off, and all of these things. They did that. That was their, instead of going to the cinema, they would go to the Colosseum and watch this terrible thing, and they said to him, we have wild beasts, to Polycarp. And we will expose you to them unless you repent, which means turn from Jesus. And he said, call for them. Praise the Lord. Call them. Bring them on. Bring the wild beast. He said, I will tame you with fire. They said, we have fire. Since you despise the wild beast, unless you repent. And he said to them, you threaten me with fire, which burns for an hour. and is soon extinguished, but the fire of the future judgment and of eternal punishment reserved for the ungodly you are ignorant of. He said, you threaten me with fire that lasts only 1 hour, and you don't even know about the fire of eternal judgment in hell that lasts forever. You see the faith of this man? What would you do? What would I do? And this is one of hundreds of thousands, millions of stories of faith of people who suffered for Jesus Christ. That encourages me. That strengthens me. Hebrews chapter 11, we're not going to turn there. By the way, the end of that story, they put the wood underneath this guy Polycarp, and they told him, we're gonna chain you to the pole and then burn you. And he said, no, you don't have to chain me. I'll willingly die for the Lord. So they didn't chain him. And he stood there. They lit the fire around Polycarp, but a wind, this is a true story, the wind blew and the fire didn't burn him. And so they actually had to get a spear, someone standing there, and they stuck it in his side, and the so much blood came out that it extinguished the fire and he died. For the Lord. Praise God. Are you ready? He's in a better place now. From that moment that he died, he was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't hot there. There was no suffering there. There was no pain there. And he is in heaven today rejoicing with the crown of life. Do you believe that this morning? Really? Do you believe that there is a heaven? Do you believe that heaven is better than this place? Are you living for heaven, for the Lord? In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about many heroes of the faith. You can read that when you get home and be encouraged. And he says that we may perfect what is lacking in your faith in verse 10. The truth is this, when we hear stories about Polycarp, when I hear stories about people suffering in other countries in the world today, whenever I hear those stories, the truth is this, I really wonder about myself. I really wonder, what would I do then? Because many people, when threatened, ran away. Deny Christ or we'll kill you. And they say, I deny Christ and go away. I really wonder what my faith would be like during those times. But the Word of God says that no matter where you are in your faith, God will perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Praise the Lord. You may have weak faith so that you couldn't say, I won't deny my Lord. God will make that stronger. He'll perfect you in that. Don't worry. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, it says, now may the God of peace make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Finally, in verse 11 through 13, now may the God and may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love toward one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts. There's that word establish again. He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. And this is talking about Jesus' work during our affliction. When you are suffering, when you are afflicted, Jesus is there with you. When we are in trouble, Jesus is here with us. He doesn't stay far away. It's not just He's with us when things are going good, and then as soon as we start to have a problem, He says, see you later, I hope you make it. Bye, if things get better, I'll come back. He's with us. He's the one who gives us the grace to endure, to go through it, to be victorious. It is Jesus. Jesus is the one. And Paul prays that Jesus would continue that work in their lives, in his life, in our lives, here today. It is Jesus who will bring us through, who will help us during times of affliction. Amen? That is a promise from the Word of God. And I hope that we can be encouraged by that today. I'm going to close with this verse, then we'll stand together and pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You and praise You for Your wonderful work. We thank You also, Lord, that You are in control of our lives. That even when You allow affliction, tribulation, persecution, suffering, even when You allow these things in our lives, Lord, You are in control. You are working them in our lives for our betterment. Father, help us to know these. Help us to believe. Lord, help us during our time of suffering. Help us to trust in You. Help us, Lord, not to believe the lies of Satan. Father, help us to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. Father, help us to be victorious during our time of suffering. Thank You, Jesus, that You know each one of us. You know our deepest problems. You know our deepest needs. And You love us. Thank You for Your love toward us. Thank You for showing us, for demonstrating that You love us, in that while we were yet sinners, You died for us. We pray that we would go from this place with a new encouragement and a new strengthening in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name.